The SEC wants to know how big a role ratings agencies played in the financial meltdown.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Some of the big ratings agencies, such as Standard & Poor's, could be slapped with civil fraud charges and or fines. That's if securities regulators determine those firms were negligent in how they rated pools of mortgages and other loans, bond securities that eventually helped lead to the financial crisis. Gene Eaglesham is a reporter with the Wall Street Journal. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning.
So the ratings agencies have already been criticized by lawmakers for their role in the crisis. Why is the SEC getting involved now?
Well, the SEC has been looking at the agencies for quite a while in relation to all these mortgage bond deals, which the agencies gave AAA ratings to and then downgraded that when the housing market collapsed. And what the SEC is looking at is, did these firms actually do enough to make sure they had up-to-date information on the mortgages that they were rating? Did they take enough account of the warnings that were out there about the problems with subprime mortgages?
Are there allegations of outright fraud, or is this, I mean, could this be just some sloppy research? What is it?
It's going to be a difficult case for the SEC to make. And the area of potential fraud that the SEC is looking at is called misrepresentation to investors. This is really whether the credit rating firms did enough to make sure that the information they were basing these ratings on was correct.
And what about the broader implications of all this?
This is all part of a broader, very long-running investigation by the SEC into these mortgage bond deals. And it covers a number of the major Wall Street banks, a number of other financial firms, and now the rating agencies. So we're expecting to see, rolling out over this year, a series of settlements with the SEC. And there'll be a landmark moment in the enforcement action after the financial crisis.
Gene Eaglesham, reporter with the Wall Street Journal. Gene, thank you.
Pleasure.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now. The Dow up 74 points, two-thirds of a percent at 12,035. Stocks are being helped by news out of Europe today. Germany and France say they each back a new aid package for Greece. Well, the solar power industry will be making and marking a significant moment in the sun today. Groundbreaking is set for a major solar and steam power plant being built near the California-Arizona border, the biggest of its kind. And Marketplace's Bob Moon reports it's taking solar to a new level.
Picture a sea of long, slightly curved mirrors lined up row after row in the wide-open Mojave Desert of Southern California, all of them focusing sunlight onto pipes and creating steam to power electrical turbines.
When it's all finished, it's going to be over 1,000 megawatts of capacity, which means it could power over 300,000 homes. That's the size of many small to medium-sized American cities.
Solar Trust of America's Edward Sullivan is billing this as the world's largest solar facility with an output that'll match other power-generating methods.
It's entering into the realm of coal-fired power plants and nuclear plants, and that's the first time solar energy has ever entered into that scale.
The facility is the biggest of four projects being fast-tracked in the same area, roughly midway between Palm Springs and Phoenix. Sullivan says there's the rub. It's limited to areas that get intense sunlight.
We need very, very high energy from the sun, and you really only get that in the American Southwest.
The project is being backed by federal recovery funds. Sullivan says it's expected to create 1,000 direct construction jobs and employ 200 permanently. In Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at manta.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
Word moments ago from the LA Times that Frank and Jamie McCourt have reportedly reached a settlement in their divorce case. The two have been feuding for a long time over ownership of the LA Dodgers. No word what the settlement includes. Both are in court right now. ESPN, the magazine, is out today with a list of America's best sports franchises. The list is according to value fans get in exchange for their time and money and passion that they sink into a particular team. Well, the Super Bowl champs Green Bay Packers topped the list, but the LA Angels of Anaheim took number one of all baseball teams. And Peter Keating is a senior writer with ESPN Magazine. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. So the LA Angels, huh? Why are they the best baseball team on this list?
They've been our model franchise for some time now. We ask fans. 70,000 fans vote online, and the Angels come out great in almost everything. They have cheap tickets, they win a lot of games, and they care a lot about fans, and they give a lot of cool giveaways away. I mean, trolls, wrestling masks, rally monkey, chia pets, you name it.
Well, you pretty much spilled the beans there. But how do you measure this kind of thing? I mean, what kind of metrics are you using here?
We wanted to try to figure out a total measure for rating teams according to how much they give back, not just for the money we spend as fans, but for the time and emotion we invest as well. So we do some financial analysis. We look at how well teams convert the fan dollars, like concessions and parking and that kind of stuff, into wins. And once again this year, the Angels, who were the number one overall team 2 years ago, came out as the top team in baseball, number four overall.
And I noticed the Cincinnati Bengals of the NFL, were the worst on the list. Does that equate, Peter, to a team that's not profitable?
No, actually. The Bengals made $49 million in profits last year, according to Forbes.
Wow.
The Brown family pays themselves a lot of money, and they have a really poor record of acquiring players who are any good. And you combine that, you get a lot of on-field losses, even though you get a lot of off-field money.
Well, it's a very telling list, and I look forward to checking all of it out. Peter Keating with ESPN the magazine. Peter, thanks.
Thank you so much.
And finally, fellas, take note. There's a new study out that says while women may be initially impressed with your flashy sports car, they don't see you as a long-term prospect. The research from three separate universities is called Porsches and Peacocks and says men who have shiny, fancy cars are essentially doing the same thing a peacock does when trying to attract a female, showing his feathers. But ladies tend to pluck through the conventional wisdom. In fact, the research shows women see a man boasting a spiffy ride as someone who's a bit shallow. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
It's not just professionals at the U.S. Open hitting the links this weekend. Can the president and the speaker enjoy a round of bipartisanship?
Somewhere between number one and number 18, you find time to bring up what you need to bring up, and it works.
Or not. I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Congressional Golf Caucus, next time on Marketplace. Today's business news as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.